Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Tonight will be very quick with what God has for us tonight. Hallelujah. First off, I want to really thank God for his love and his care, his protection. You know, sometimes we experience a lot of things and we just leave them, we just push them under the carpet. May we not take God's grace for granted. Hallelujah. I traveled to Ibadan on Monday for a training, and we finished this morning. As I was coming back from Ibadan, the vehicle I entered, the driver was just, all of a sudden, something just caught my attention. Like, said my center, we say something, we should remember that it's the Holy Spirit. I think the Holy Spirit just nudged me, just tapped me, like, check your driver. And I was sitting at the back. Me, I love to sit in front because I love to interact with the driver. If I'm not driving, I love to interact with the driver so that he stays awake. And when that thing happened, I just looked at the driver's face. Lo and behold, the driver was sleeping. On the expressway, the driver was there. I bet you, I have come to conclude that up to 90% of drivers who drive on this Lagos-Ibadan expressway, they sleep. Yes. The few people who are not sleeping are maybe their cars are privately owned, so they're driving themselves. They are conscious and all that. But you see, all those transporters, they all sleep all the time. So the driver was just sleeping. And even the man beside the driver in front was also sleeping. The both of them don't sleep good. And I thank God for the Holy Spirit. And I just tapped. First, I tapped the man. I said, you're supposed to be awake and be keeping the driver active. You know? And then the driver just quickly, you know that thing they do. Like, you know, a drunkard will never agree that he's drunk. Hallelujah. Also, somebody who is sleeping in church, when you tap them, say, no, I'm meditating. They will never agree with you that they are sleeping. So the driver just form like he's looking at the side mirror. We were all heading for the dish, and both of them were sleeping. And I just thank God for, you know, like I said, Pastor said, each time you say something, it's not something, it's the Holy Spirit. And I just tapped him and said, please, stay awake. And from there, I just kept them engaged until we got to Lagos. I just give God praise. Hallelujah. And that's what he does most of the time. We look at these things and we just sweep them under the carpet. We just take them for granted. We just look at it like, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. But it's a big deal. It's God at work in us, helping us, protecting us because he keeps his own. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. As we share your word, Lord, take these slips of clay and make it like the pen of the ready writer. Speak to us in the way we'll understand, and we eat your word, we run with your word, and our lives are impacted with your word, by your word. Thank you, mighty God, for in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, so this evening, quickly, like I said, it's going to be brief. I'll just do the first phase of this. So tonight I'll be talking on the impact of God's word. Amen. The impact of God's word. Hallelujah. So some time ago, many years ago, I was a young believer, and then we went for evangelism. We went in teams, so in groups, in I think group of four. So myself and a friend of mine, Asen Tweed, he's in the U.S. now, Atlanta. He's into music. He's a keyboardist. So at the time, I was teaching him drums. He wasn't really catching it too well, so he switched to keyboard. And he was playing the keyboard. He still plays keyboard very well. He's doing training for people. So when we went for evangelism, myself, himself, and two other guys, we got to this compound. And somebody was playing one loud music, loud, very loud. I know it's... I'm a music person. I love music so much. So... And this happens to be one of my favorite old songs. You know, reggae is one of my core. And so the guy was just playing, and you know, sometimes it's like carrying baggages. So Lucky Dube was playing in the company. It was very loud. And you know, there are some old things you're still carrying. So I'm particularly moved. You know, when you are an instrumentalist, there are some things that are core to you. If you play the drums and it's a beat that you so are used to, it's difficult to leave you. You are just concentrating on the beat. And then when the guy rolls, you are just hearing it in your head. And like, that rolling. And Lucky Dube is one person, one guy that has a very fantastic drummer. At the time, his drummer was acclaimed to be one of the best in the world. His drummer is so good. So don't forget, we came for evangelism. So we're preaching to somebody. We were four. So we had somebody, a sister with us, who was talking to this man. The man was sitting and gave us seat. Guess what happened? Yours sincerely. I was doing my leg according to the bass of the music. But then, you know, and the other guy could not bear it. He was doing his hand like this. The keyboard was doing his hand. He was just following the he was just following the reggae, you know, rhythm. Another. At the point, the guy couldn't bear it. We were looking for the fourth guy. We can't see him. We can't find him. The fourth guy is a vocalist. Guess what he was doing? He had left like he wanted to go and ask himself. And he was outside singing, "I am a slave." So he was singing like, what kind of people are these? You know? And it wasn't funny at all. Do not forget, we came for evangelism. But we've become distracted. May God help us in Jesus' name. And you know, when we left that place, we're like, what's happening? What's happening? Thank God, another set had to go to that same compound. And we had them turn up. They came to service. You know, but then, even when the guy gave his life to Christ and was sharing his testimony, he shared that thing. And Pastor was just looking at us. We felt so ashamed. You know, distractions. Hallelujah. So, I'm talking about how sometimes some things that you carry. Have you woken up sometimes that it has happened to me a number of times? And then there's just a song on your lips. Maybe your heart is playing, and then, no, I'm not saying it's Lucky Dube, but sometimes you just woke up with a song. You see, you can find yourself in the office, everything you do throughout that day, you just find that song still playing. It could just be, Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. When you wake up with that song, it's just playing in your head all through the day. It happens too sometimes. Some kind of song, you are going somewhere, or maybe you are passing by, and one song that is not even a believing song, just, what's it called? You just hear it. If you are not careful, that song can stay. Satan was teaching us some time ago. I was talking about how, yes, he said, he was trying to describe something about, what's the word I can use now? It has to do with like temptation or stuff like that. So he said, you cannot stop birds from flying above your head, but you can stop them from building a nest on your head. So that's how those kind of things are. Thoughts, yes, he was dealing with thoughts. So you can not stop some thoughts from flying through your mind, okay? Some thoughts from flying through, if you are passing and you just perceive certain kind of stew, the next thing that comes to your mind is, the kind of bread that would be good to eat this stew. You know, you can't stop some thoughts from coming through your mind, but you can stop it from staying. And what is it that you will use in removing those thoughts is the word of God. Hallelujah. Because everything is in God's word. Amen. So the impact of God's word. Yes. Hallelujah. So, like that thing I said about where we went to do evangelism, we're just carried away, and that guy was singing, "I am a slave." He was really a slave to reggae, and that's why I couldn't do without it. That's how we can be a slave to God's word. Hallelujah. Now, slave now is in a positive term. And Paul also said the same thing. Paul himself said, "I, Paul, a chief preacher, I'm a slave. I've been tied. I've been captured by the word of his grace." Hallelujah. We can be like that. Hallelujah. We can allow God's word to hold us, capture us to the point that everywhere we go, even when anything happens and something presses us or we are confronted by anything, what comes out of us It's as a result of what we have taken in the much of God's word that we have taken on our Insta, that we have eaten. And that's why I'm so grateful for midweek services, because it's a time where we really spend so much time to delve into God's word. You know, remember God's word. So this evening, practically what I want to be doing is I just pick out some pointers, some scriptures that we can just begin to talk about. Hallelujah. Yes, because we're talking about having the impact of God's word. We have these words, and that's how people make music, and that's how people form quotes. There are some quotes you just see, like, is it in the scripture? Yes, it's in the scripture. Hallelujah. So one of them is, forever, O Lord, your word is settled. It's in the scriptures. Hallelujah. Amen. It's in the scripture. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled. Another one again is, your word have I hid in my heart. Remember, Psalm 119, yes. And then another one is, your word is power. I remember our popular one, whatever was written for our learning. What scripture is that? Eh? Apart from Pastor Muyiwa, what scripture is that? Romans 15:4. Hallelujah. I said, that scripture now is, we are almost turning it to Pastor Muyiwa chapter 15, verse 4. Hallelujah. All right. That's Romans 15:4. Yes. Let's see the book of Psalm. Psalm 119. Hallelujah. Okay. Psalm 119. Verse 89. All right, Psalm 119:89. It says, your word, Lord, is eternal. Your word is forever. It stands firm in the heaven. Hallelujah. Your word is eternal. And that's that first one that I mentioned. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. Your word is eternal. There's no end. There's no stopping your word. It's eternal. Hallelujah. And then in, I think in verse 11 or so of the same chapter 119 of Psalm, it says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Your word have I hidden in my heart. And then, like I said, a lot of people make songs out of you yourself. You don't need to wait for one musician. You can create songs with it. The essence is we are memorizing it. We are just making it a part of our lives so that whenever, anytime, those words creep on you. Hallelujah. Have you ever gone through a garden before and then you see that, especially a garden with beautiful flowers and all that. At the time you're coming out, if it's a place that has this beautiful aroma of flowers, when you are coming out, as soon as you come out of that place, you see that there's that rub off of the flower on you. There's that rub off of the smell, the beautiful smell of the flower, the aroma is just on you. Hallelujah. Yes, the fragrance is on you. Amen. So your word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you. We had one song back very many years ago. I think it was Emma and Lazarus. I'm not sure this generation knows Emma and Lazarus. Do you know Emma and Lazarus? You know? Okay. Your word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you. For your word is greater than to any. Okay. For your word is sharper than two-edged sword. You are a consuming fire. So that's God's word. So when we learn to play. See, you don't need any musician around you. Some people say, I'm not in the choir. You don't need to be in the choir. Just put the words together, just like you're playing puzzle. You're doing playing puzzle, and then you're just looking for the word to fill in and get the answers. You can just play with the word. Even if you don't know how to sing, even if you have, it doesn't matter, just do it. Just play. You know what you're doing? You are grooming yourself to eat the word and let the word stay in you. Hallelujah. Amen. So we read about that his word is power. And that is in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. Let's see that. Hebrews 4. Hallelujah. The Bible don't verse. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. All right. It says, For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. That's not what I'm looking for. Let's see. Sorry, let's go back to Psalm. Psalm 119. Verse 105. Okay. It said, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Hallelujah. So God's word has power, it has light, and he helps us. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Then, we've talked about how what was written for our learning, Romans 15, 4. And it's not just for us to read for fun. It's so that we know what's truly given us. Amen. Now, the value of that scripture, Romans 15, 4, makes us to understand what has been given us because it was written for our learning so that we know. It's like a father who wrote a will and keeps it in his box. When his child comes across that wheel, even after the father is gone, he values the father more. Why? He said, oh, this man thought of me. This man made something, kept a treasure for me valuably, and he put it here for my consumption, for my use, for my blessing. So God's word was put here for us to know. Otherwise, just imagine that you never had the opportunity of knowing this word. How would you know that faith comes by hearing? Hallelujah. If we never encounter the word, how would you know that healing is already yours? How would you know that when you come confronted by a high mountain, a terrible problem that seems beyond you, how would you know that you have the capacity, according to Mark 11, 22 and 23, to say to that mountain, get out, be removed, and be cast into the sea? How would you know? It is this word that is written. So some words may look, may just seem so simple, but embedded in it is the power of God. Hallelujah. So there's no word of God there's no word of God that does not contain power. It's all based on understanding. Hallelujah. So what was written for our learning so that we can benefit from what has been made available for us. Praise God. Amen. All right. Remember too, in the book of Matthew, Jesus said, it is written. What was written? That which was written for our learning. When the devil came to tempt him, he said, get it behind me, Satan, for it is written. He too used what was written. Hallelujah. So what was written is written for our benefit. The impact of God's word is so that we will not be ignorant, so that we can go into our world as champions and take delivery of all that God has given to us. Amen. All right. Matthew 4. Matthew chapter 4. Thank you for your word, Lord. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. I will see verse 7. It says, Jesus said, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread. So, when he quoted what was written. For it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Each time I read this place, you know what it tells me? Even as much as you are filled with God's word, do not depend on your personal capacity. Always trust what God has for you for the moment. He said, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And that tells me that for every situation, it's not one size fits all. For every situation or any situation you ever encounter in life, there is a word of God for that moment. Hallelujah. There is a word of God for that moment. You see, Pastor Anwar could stand here now and he's preaching and he's sharing his testimony. What he's sharing is to help me believe and trust that if God did it for my pastor, he will do it for me. But you see, at that moment when you are encountering what you are encountering, you need God's word for yourself. You cannot say, Pastor Anwar, it's not going to work. It is God's word for you at that moment that will work. Hallelujah. I hope you get what I'm saying. His word that he has shared is to help us believe that, wow, yes, when, like David said, they asked him, said, small boy, are you sure you can confront this man? He said, yes. Then he started sharing his testimony. And that testimony is the example I gave here. I said, what pastor has shared is no testimony, is to help us believe that if God did it before, he would do it again. If God did it in my pastor's life, he would do it for me. God is not selective. He would do it for me the way he did it for pastor. So David said, once I was in our backyard, in the garden, and a lion and a deer came to take the lamb, and I caught it and killed it, and he gave his testimony. That's what pastor shared. That is not what he's using to come for. So that's what spurred him to trust God more, to know that if I did it with what I did, I am capable of facing this uncircumcised Philistine. Amen. Do you get it now? So, yes, that means it's good to hear God's word. It's good to hear a preacher. It's good to, because those things spoil you, they help you, but you must delve, you must enter God's word. Hallelujah. Because God's word is what you will use when you come face to face with the devil. When David faced Goliath, look at what he said to him. He said, I come to, because he told him, he said, you are coming to me with your sword and with your all your capacity, professionalism, and everything. You are well trained as a soldier, Lieutenant Jerima. Yes, you have come with all your regalia and everything. Yes, but I come to you with the word of the Lord. With the what? Word of the Lord. Amen. He didn't say, I come to you in the name of in the word. That's what that foolish man wanted to do when he said, in the name of the God that Paul and what is preaching. And that demon said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, Oga, who you be? Because when the ships are down, what you have loaded yourself with is what you will use. Amen. You can't come and say, I used to attend midweek service, so I'm carrying fire. No, that's not a criteria for combating the challenges that you are faced with. I'm always sitting behind pastor in Sunday service. The devil knows me, and he knows that I am in no-go area. He can't mess with me. No, that's not going to work. There's no Sunday I don't sing in the choir. It's not going to work. I'm the one operating the techie. I'm the one displaying the scriptures. If that scripture is not in you, you go shock. So Jesus said, it is written. Let's walk with what is written. Hallelujah. In verse 7 again, Jesus answered, it is also written. This is the word of God. This is Jesus, God's living word, quoting the word. How much more that you want to relax, drink Fanta and eat bread and come out and say, yes, you want to combat. No. This is real war. We're in a world where there is war, real war. Hallelujah. And this war is no child's play. To win the battles of life, we must know God's word, we must eat God's word, and use the word of God at all times. For everything we are confronted with, there is God's word for us. There is God's word. There is God's word. I remember vividly when we were going through one phase, my wife and I, and just to buttress the example I gave. And then that's the what we stood on, God's word. And we told ourselves, say yes. We remember the testimonies shared. And just like Pastor has shared several times, when he was going to have his wedding, he received God's word. And what was the word? You will never be stranded. God did it for my pastor. He will do it for me. And I went to him and said, God, what do you have for me? What are you telling me now? And that's when he gave us a word. He said, you will not see the wind, you will not see the rain, but you will be flooded with water. Your camp will be flooded with answers. You will have solution. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's another way of saying, I will not leave you stranded. I will not leave you forsaken. You will see answers. But these answers, it will not be as a result of what you have envisaged. And that's why I used it. I put the word in my local parlance when I said, if how God wants to bless you, you know I've got her another inside. Because that's what I caught in my spirit. And he said, brigade, you know what's brigade? You won't understand. In Pidgin, we say brigade is a verb. Brigade means suddenly. Brigade is not in the dictionary. It's from my language. So, in Yoruba, how do you say, when something just happened abruptly, how do you say it? Eh? Eh? ODD. OGG. Eh? So, it just happened. You never envisaged, you never saw it coming. And then, bam! And that's what God was saying. That you won't even observe them. You won't see anything. Bam! It will just happen. And it has happened for us a number of times. Just when you are on edge, like, what's going to happen? God, are you there? And then bam, just like, look behind you, like he told Abraham. He said, there's a ram there caught in the thicket. Hallelujah. It's a God who never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Hallelujah. That's how beautiful he is. That's how great he is. Amen. All right, so let's see. All right. Matthew chapter 16, please. Matthew 16, verse 19. He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. This is another word, strong word, that I wrote down. Amen. This is another word I wrote down. So whatever is settled on earth is settled in heaven. Whatever is settled on earth is settled. So the things that you command, the things that you order, the things that you decree here, they are answered. Scripture says so. And so we believe it and we run with it. One guy was trying to write off the word of God. And I looked at him and I told him, I said, you don't know what you're playing with. You are playing on dangerous grounds. You know what he said? He said, oh, you people just write something given and I just they follow. I said, oh, really? Really? So clap for yourself. So whatever is settled on earth is settled in heaven. So after some time, he asked me a question. He said, these things, how are they do these things? I say, it's in the world. Now there will they catch them from. He said, because I just said, you play with it, you don't know. You will listen to one motivational speaker. But the things they borrowed from God's word, and they're using, you shake your head and say, Rev. You are shouting. Study the word for yourself to know it. And that's why the Bible says, study to show yourself approved. Eat this word. It will do you great good. Amen. Eat the word. It will do you great good. Sepma has said it here before, and I've heard Bishop Oyedepo say it before, that you will be the same person you are now in the next 10 years, except for two things. The books you read, the books you consume, the articles that you consume. I mean, when I talk about the book, I talk about this one, because this one gives you revelation when you read it. Not that you are reading Miss and Boom. Those, I don't know what they read now. In those days, it's Miss and Boom in my days. Miss and Boom, James Hadley Chase, all those books. when you read all those ones, finish. The problem, see the way I did. But when you consume this one that gives revelation, when you are through reading, the things that you begin to order and command is from the knowledge that you get from here. When Sarah was praying, she quoted that place that I love so much. He said, we are the fragrance that diffuses what? Sister Remy? We are the fragrance that diffuses what? The knowledge of God. Abby? The fragrance that diffuses Habakkuk 2:14. I think she read hers from another place, but when she was reading that, that's what came to my spirit. The same interpretation. Habakkuk 2:14 says, for the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the water covers the sea. What knowledge? The one of God that has filled your heart. You are dispensing it as a fragrance is going out of you, is oozing out of you, and is blessing lives. Knowledge shared. Hallelujah. Amen. Someone once told me, say, I love that you're a pastor. Say, now I know why you people are the way you are. Say, because nobody will spend time with this kind of man and not get an answer. Hallelujah. Because you know what happened? Before she ever came to church and I had fellowship with us and all that, every time we were talking, it's just my bad habit. Every time we're talking, I'm always fond of, just like when sometimes business seminars are there, I'll quote some things and I'll talk about my wife. So this time as I was talking, I was always quoting some things about my pastor and some things he had said and how some directions he has given and how it has been helpful. And the guy said, I said, I know they see pastor like that before. Say, but because apparently she's not close to our pastor and all that. So she was just saying something like, So one day she came over and said, said, no wonder. No wonder. And then sometimes, now when she wants to run anything in we have an organization. So anytime I want to run something, she'll say, what do you think? I said, but I'm not the right person to ask. She said, no, you don't want to spend this kind amount of time with this kind of person and not have solutions. Because the number of times that she has done, all those things have always been helpful. Amen. And I said to somebody one day, I said to her one day, a lady in this church, and I said, if you have stayed in this church for at least a minimum of 5 years, and you have a bad relationship, we should lie you down and flog you very well. That means you are not opening your eyes, you're not seeing, you're not learning anything. In my local parlance, we say, there's a way we say it. You see, there are some families like that. Like Mrs. D, I know that in their house, they have very few ladies, but more of guys, right? So the way we used to say it in my place is, any young girl who grew up in a home filled with boys and is deceived by somebody outside, she's a foolish child. You know why? Because you've seen your brother, especially when you were young, you've seen your brothers, you've learned a lot of things. You see them make moves. So if somebody can't call you for can they call you for corner of flower, can they write your leg for ground, they pluck flower there, and you are being deceived, you should be flogged at home. Meaning you've not learned anything. You can't stick with this word and be foolish. You can't stick with this word and fall victim to certain things. Why? Because the word of God is light. It exposes a whole lot. Secrecy, evil and secrecy thrives in darkness. Evil thrives in secrecy. So when the devil wants to corner you first, he tries to separate you. You see, pastor, you dodge. After service, you don't want to greet anybody because you don't want to. So the devil first corner you. He boxes you for one corner where nobody can come to your aid. No pastor's advice, no friendly brother or sister's counsel and all that. And when he don't corner you, like a 419, hammer you, empty you. And when he's done, you are now feeling like, even you can't even share what you experienced. And that's what the devil does all the time. He isolates you to a corner where he can just finish you. That's the trick of the devil. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, let's go on. Yes, we say his word is settled forever. Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 20. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. He says, lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. Meaning, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, I day here with you. I remember when we were building our farm, our poultry in Okwagbo. There's this guy who should be very, very hardworking. Very, very hardworking. We all like him. He's very hardworking. Even if that tank you carry come with boat, he will carry it. Very hardworking. So, as we're almost finishing, there is a lot of work more to be done. And my wife was asking him, I think Lawa or something, I can't remember his name, but my wife was asking him, will you be around next month when we're doing this phase? I said, madam, I day with you. I know they go anywhere. I day with you. The very next night, that's when he ran to Kwara. He has moved. Oh, I said, this guy that is like Superman that does all the work. So who will not do this work? I said, what did he tell you? He said he did with me. And God does not do like that. I did with you. The guy don't lofe, don't reach Kwara state. When God said, I did with you, he meant every word. Lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He has given us his word that stays with us, yet his presence also is with us. Hallelujah. That's how good God is. Amen. Now, Psalm 138. Psalm 138. Glory to God. So Psalm 138, verse 2. Let's look at it from the, I'll have to look at this from the King James. Psalm 138, verse 2. Look at what it says. I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. Hallelujah. Amen. For he has magnified his word above his name. The name alone is powerful enough. But his word he does not joke with. Satan was teaching us a time ago and he said, if your word cannot be trusted, you have no name. If your word cannot be trusted, you have no name. You have no name. I think it was Pastor Mwiwa that was telling us some time ago, and he said, there's one thing his father does not joke with, he said, this name. You can do any other, but this name. That's what most fathers will tell you because they value their name. God honors his word above his name. You know what that means? As good as the name, if there's no word. So imagine somebody whose name, who has a big name. There's one man in my place. He finished from my school. So he's an old boy of my school. And he's a very big politician. Very big politician. You know, he goes about, what do you call them? He's a philanthropist. But then he came to my school one time and promised us, he came to my school one time and gave us a borehole and gave us a school bus, big school bus that carries staffs and students and all that. But guess what? He's somebody that's close to my family too, so I know the story so well. So they were doing something, and during one political campaign, he stood, this open roof car, he The student was praying morning. So when he got to the center of the town, very popular place, they call the place Olympia Junction. So when he got there, people were hailing him, Chief, Chief, people were hailing him, was throwing money. What finished him was his opponent brought his father. So he, as rich as he was and he was doing all that, his father is living in penury in the same town. So his father came there to that place, that same where people say, I will die here today. So the father, publicly, so he was calling some of his men to take his father out of there. Father said, no, I will die here with you today. I never chop since morning. You die here, they spray money, people, they hail you, they call you better. So the father, it was embarrassing to him. And forcefully brought that bundle of money and gave to the father. Our God does not do that. Amen. Hallelujah. He honors his word. Because that, without that word, there is no name. Amen. All right. So he honors his word above his name. Yes, we are the fragrance that diffuses the goodness of his knowledge. Hallelujah. That diffuses his knowledge. Amen. So, as I close with this. The Bible says, let's always be in a state of being filled. Always in a state of being filled. In a state of being filled with the Spirit of God. Because that's one way we can enjoy the impact of God's word. Let's stay in that atmosphere of always being filled with the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. I love the scripture that says, I think it's Romans that says, with a heart man believes, but with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. What that also says is that it's not enough to read God's word. As we read God's word, let's confess it. Let's say it. If you read God's word, it's not enough. It's not enough. That alone is not enough. You must confess it. Hallelujah. So when the word of God says, I'm blessed, and then I'm reading and saying, you are blessed in the city, you are blessed in the field, I must also learn to use it to pray. Lord, thank you because according to your word, I am blessed in the city. I am blessed in the field. As I step out today, I am blessed in all areas of my life. We must say it. That's when it becomes prayer. Hallelujah. You have to say it. Because you're not only saying it to reassure yourself, what you're doing is, you are telling the devil, beware, this is my territory. I know my right. This is what has been given me. It is what you say that counts. Hallelujah. So you are declaring with your mouth. And as you say it, have you seen a teacher before? One of the reasons that makes teachers very, very intelligent in their career is because they are teaching the same thing constantly. So the more you teach it, the more they are gaining knowledge again. Because when they teach and like, I taught this thing last year, but the way I'm teaching it right now, I'm just gaining this and gaining, they are gaining more from it. Hallelujah. So when you say God's word, apart from reading it and you're saying it to yourself, it's reassuring, it's re-echoing, it's making multiple sounds in your mind and it stays. Hallelujah. So as you go out, when something comes up, you say, yes, I know what I said this morning. Because the devil will come to test that word. I know what I said this morning and I mean it and I still stand on it. I am blessed. Hallelujah. Let's rise up on our feet joyfully because the Bible also declares that it says, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Hallelujah. So it's not about giving offering. It's also about giving him praise, giving him the worship due him. Hallelujah. Worship him in his excellent greatness. Hallelujah. Just let's open our mouth and begin to give him thanks, give him glory, give him praise. Has the Lord been good to you? Has he been merciful? Has he been grace? Has he surrounded you with his grace? Has he helped you in any way? Has he protected you in any way? Let's just take time and give him glory, give him praise, give him thanks. Yes, with whatever you have learned from his word, just give him praise. Give him praise for knowledge being shared, for light, for his light, for his word. He said his word is a light to our feet and a lamp unto our path. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the grace we enjoy. Yes, thank you for the atmosphere of your presence. Thank you. Thank you for your healing power in this place. Thank you for never forsaking, never leaving us. Thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for your grace that we enjoy. Oh, your glory that surrounds us. Thank you. Thank you. Your praise will always be in our mouth. Yes, and we run and run and give you praise and glory. With excitement, with joy from within us as a river, we'll always worship and bless and praise your name. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, Abba Father. We give you praise and glory. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.